Broadcasting from Lockport, New York, it's time for The Dads Must Be Crazy. Just three guys raising kids and currently hiding from them in an undisclosed tool shed to talk about parenting, pop culture, and penguins. Or something else that starts with a P. It's Craig, the stay-at-home dad historian and hockey enthusiast. Howie, the stay-at-home dad who used to be a reporter when journalism was a thing. And Bobby, the retired Army vet, Trekkie, and gamer, helping to raise three kids in beautiful Western New York. Now, here's the dads.
Welcome to The Dads Must Be Crazy. I am Craig, joined today by Bobby.
Hello.
And Howie.
Hello, everybody.
How are you guys doing after the last week? We're done with school and summer vacation is actually here.
I'm not.
Your kids are done.
Yes, they are. Although, I can tell you a story a little bit about that once we get going, about how they were supposed to have been done, but Sunday night and Monday showed that one of them wasn't done.
Uh-oh. So tell me more.
Well, I'll let Bobby finish telling about what his kids are doing. I got to take a bite of my dinner. I'm eating dinner while we record right now.
Me too.
Kids are just enjoying being out of school at this point. You know, the fact that it's done and, you know, they finally up the limit to 25 people can be in the same place at one time.
I don't like 25 people, so I'm good.
Yeah, I know. But they can hang out, be in the backyard, play some video games together with their friends, like in person. So that social contact that the kids have been missing is coming back, which is good. It's also good for their development. So,
oh, absolutely. My favorite thing about the number 25 is that unfortunately, the people who are listening to us cannot see that Craig almost just exploded in reaction to that noise. Anyway.
Can you hear her crying?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Is everything okay over there?
She's having a fit.
It wouldn't be The Dads Must Be Crazy if we didn't have, you know, children making noise in the back.
I mean, craziness. Yeah, it's craziness.
One rule, stay outside while I'm doing this. Everybody's eating dinner outside except for me. And in, out, in, out, in, out. What the heck, man? It's like you can't get them in the house and when you want them in the house.
Oh, no, that's exactly right. That's how it always goes. Bobby said something about 25 people altogether. 25 is my go-to number with how many baseball movies I would recommend before recommending Moneyball.
You and Moneyball, I like that movie.
I didn't say I didn't like it. I just vehemently disagree with people who say, oh, it's the best baseball movie ever. Moneyball's a business movie. That is what it is. And in fact, one of my classes this summer, I had to write a persuasive essay using certain writing strategies that I would teach to young people. And I made my essay titled Moneyball is Overrated and Here's Why. And I gave examples as to why.
I don't know how it is, but every episode, no matter how hard I try, we talk about pop culture.
No, I just, hey, 25, it's Bobby's fault this time. Anyway.
What?
He said the number 25. One thing about my kids being done with school, they were all supposed to have their work completed and turned in as of this past Friday, which was the 12th. And sure enough, I had to help my son do some of his Spanish. And when I say help, I mean show him how to drag and drop on certain places and Google and Drive and email, and whatever, because he refuses to teach himself how to do some of these things because he says, well, I don't know how. For him, and I've said this before to my wife and anybody who will listen, when he says, I don't know, this is basically code for I don't care and don't want to do it.
Now, I have kids who are a little bit older than yours, and I know yours is going into ninth grade this year.
Yes, he is. He's going into ninth in the fall, yeah.
Even before all this pandemic BS that was happening, though, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th, they use Google Docs. They use Google Classroom.
Yeah.
So tell him to suck it up, Buttercup, because he's going to have to do it.
He was using it. That's what really annoyed me. I'm like, you're using this. Everything is on Classroom. So if you're doing a Google Doc, do that. Well, I don't know. Don't tell me you don't know how. You do it this way, and then you drag and drop, and you share it with your teacher. That way she sees it. I promise you, he or she will see the document. So as of Friday night, I was under the impression everything was done. Sure enough, Sunday morning, my wife gets a text from the Remind app that a lot of teachers use. And one of my son's teachers is like, Alex is going to get this particular grade because he apparently still has X amount of reading assignments that are outstanding. So my wife, of course, gets upset because my son was out with my in-laws camping in Batavia. And of course, camping is the operative term there.
Glamping.
That's not, yeah, we're not going to talk about that. So he gets home and he was giving my wife attitude over the phone. So I said, you know what, enough with this. I have to go pick up my daughter anyway because she was at a friend's house. So I went to my in-laws and I said, show me the assignments. Where are they? Well, I didn't know I had them. I go, how do you not know? He's telling you this daily. Read this, do this. So for somebody who truly didn't know he had them, he was able to find them in approximately 90 seconds, which means that he knew exactly where he needed to look. He just chose not to.
Well, one of the things to keep in mind is if you're a teacher and you set something in Google Classroom with a due date, if you turn it in after the due date and they can't punish you for that, as long as you got it done by the end of the year, if you turn that in by the due date, it lets a teacher know that you've handed it in. If you turn it in after the due date, they don't get a notification. They have to look for it. So you got to keep that in mind, too.
As far as I know, that is not what happened. As far as I'm aware, he did the ridiculous amount of assignments that he had let pile up. He got them all done Sunday night, and everything was fine. Because the teacher's like, I don't even close my grade book until this coming Friday. So, and I guess, in a way, that is something that would only happen to a student like my son, who's very cognizant of what's going on. Because if he was in class, he would have gotten it all done without a problem. I know this. It was more of an annoyance than anything else. And he's like, I didn't know. And then he started getting upset with me and so on. I brought him home. I'm like, you're not going back to your grandparents until you're done. My wife was like, just let him be. And he got the work done. And he was upset with me for yelling at him. I'm like, Alex, I didn't yell at you. You've heard me yell. My kids have heard me yell. I don't think I was talking, but maybe half an octave higher to him or louder to him than I am to you guys right now. And he was getting upset. He's like, come on, you're embarrassing me in front of Grandma and Grandpa. I should be helping Grandpa. I'm like, no. They understand that if you have this work that needs to get done, you need to get it done. This is not an option. Get it done. Well, every excuse in the book.
Well, thankfully, that's all done.
Yes, he got it all done. Then he came over yesterday with an attitude on it, chip on his shoulder, and says, I was ordered to come over here and help you because I still got that pile of mulch in my driveway that needs to be taken care of. And I worked on it a lot yesterday and today. He helped me for about an hour. I think he helped spread maybe half a wheelbarrow full.
On the bright side, I did get my new T-shirt from Nine Line Apparel today. And it's got all these neat little sayings because it's a father T-shirt, right? So it says, who touched the thermostat? In a question. And then another part, it says, warning, we'll embarrass with no regard to location. And then
I want both of these. This is great.
Hold on. There's plenty more. And then it's got four little sayings with four little pictures above it. It says room clearer, meaning can fart with the best of them. Teller of jokes in parentheses. Barbecue master, designated spider killer. And then it says father and gives you the enunciation spelling of it. And then it gives you a little quote at the bottom. It says, I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed.
Wait.
I was like, yes.
Let's back up a moment here, though. Designated spider killer. You were at my house on Saturday, and he said, I'm not going over there. There's a spider, so.
Flame thrower.
Kill it with fire.
Yes, just burn it all to the ground.
Nice.
Like, you guys would be traumatized if you've been chased across the desert by, like, hundreds of camel spiders. Like, that's happened. No, it's bad.
You don't like bees either.
I have nightmares about that. Like, that's.
You don't like bees either, I found out.
Nope, don't like. Look, that's a flying nope. Okay. And they just sting you for no reason. There's a couple of them. Bumblebee, fat, cuddly, cute. Will generally leave you alone.
And will make honey.
Sting you. Yeah, a honeybee will make honey because it makes delicious things. Only stings when needs to sting. Wasp will sting you for no apparent reason just because it's in the story. It's it. I mean, hornet. Angry all the time.
Murder sting. Hornet. Where did they go?
Exactly.
Well, we got July coming up. We're going to need Will Smith to save our ass.
July, that's what, I Am Legend or something?
Independence Day.
Oh, yeah. Great movie.
Isn't the third one in the works?
I thought they already did it.
The second one has been made and out. I own the second. I'm just wondering the third one's going to be in the works.
I don't know. Hollywood opened yesterday, so I guess new TV shows.
I'm excited to see what the celebrities decide to do next to show us all how they're coping with everything going on and then get completely lambasted by everybody who's actually on the ground, so to speak, wondering, what are you guys doing? You're living at home with maids and gardeners and everything else, and you're telling us that you feel bad?
I don't listen to all these people who virtue signal. Like, I do me. I live my life. I move on. I make sure my wife and my kids are taken care of and we have all our needs met. And I move on with my day. I try to be nice and respectful to everybody. Hollywood, if they're going back to work, maybe do what they do best. Entertain us, because that's what they get paid for. I don't give a about their personal or political views. Keep your mouth shut. Stuff it with pie.
Warm apple pie?
Well, I don't want that particular one that you're talking about. No, I don't want that one.
So anyway, we figured out before we went and started recording that we are the oldest of our siblings, each one of us.
Yes.
Yes.
And with being the oldest comes a lot of pros and cons with your siblings. Number one, you could do the least wrong, but you got in the most trouble.
Yeah, it's always your fault.
Yeah, absolutely.
Why am I getting in trouble for something he did? Well, you should have taught him not to do that. Really?
I think number two should be the younger sibling always got away with murder.
Everything. I'll give you an example. We're going to talk a little bit about sibling rivalry. So I'm older than my sister by 3 years, and I'm older than my brother by 7 years.
Goodness.
So I was 10, 11, maybe 12 years old, and my brother and I were sharing a room. So he's 4 or 5. And I had a desk. It was my grandfather's police desk because he used to be a police officer. And don't go into my desk. That's my desk. And it was given to me. And he kept going in there and moving things around and ruining things. So I packed up my brand new Chuck Taylors one night and my pillow and my blanket and moved myself to the basement because I couldn't deal with him anymore. I wasn't sharing a room anymore. But you know what? If I got into his stuff, my mom and dad would have yelled at me. Not a word about it. When Wendy and I were engaged, we weren't living together. So this happened in October. We moved in together in January. So she and her dad got into an argument. I pulled her out and took her home with me and said that you're going to stay here. Just get out of the situation. My parents said, oh, that's fine. She can stay upstairs in your sister's room. So I'm 22 years old, engaged, and she couldn't stay with me in my room. And I kind of get it because I'm a parent now. My brother, when he graduated from high school, he was 17 years old because he's got one of those wacky August birthdays.
I got a July birthday, so I know what you're talking about.
Yep. And his girlfriend, who was from New York City, not only moved here to be with him, moved into my old bedroom with my brother at 17. I was 22 years old, engaged to be married, and we had already signed the lease to start living together at our first apartment, our only apartment, really, on January 1st. So this is mid-October that this is all that she's trying to stay at our house. I was not allowed. So the rules from the oldest to the youngest definitely get more relaxed.
I think some of that is based on the fact that as parents, you're always experiencing parenthood the first time with the first kid. So you learn what you can and can't do, what makes sense, what doesn't make sense, what you should and shouldn't say, and all that goes with that. And
so we're just an experiment in parenting.
That's exactly right. That is exactly right.
We are living guinea pigs.
Yeah.
Hey, but we're living.
Right. Barely in some cases.
Barely.
Yeah. I'm okay. What I really enjoyed, sarcasm, as the older sibling, was if I was told to not do something, or I was told to do something, whatever choice you want of words. But if my parents told me something, and I needed to either stop doing what I was doing or drop what I was doing and do something else. If I didn't do it, there was any number of punishments or verbal assaults headed my way. Because if I didn't do it, I would not get whatever reward was promised, whatever that might be. My brother, on the other hand, who is 5 years younger than I am, if the same situation presented itself to him, and he either needed to do something or to stop doing something, and he did or didn't do it, he would whine and whine and whine and whine some more. And finally, my parents would be like, you need to stop. well, I want this, I want it. Well, then do this. I lost count how many times the expression, well, then, was started off with a conditional thing to my brother, and he wound up getting away with whatever the heck he wanted.
Did you guys share a room?
Drove me nuts. No.
Okay.
We did for less than a year, but I was almost six, and he was almost one. So it was so long ago, it really didn't matter. So we did not share rooms. Our rooms were either always separated by at least a hallway or a walkway, but we never shared a room.
And Bobby, you have a sister, right?
I do. She's 4 years younger than me. So obviously she was daddy's little girl and got away with everything. And I mean everything. I mean, she didn't do many chores around the house. I mean, I washed dishes. I took out trash and recycling. I cut the grass. I cleaned the garage. I vacuumed the living room and the sitting room. But I did 90% of the chores. She barely did anything. And I'm talking, I'm 16, and in high school, she's 12, and she's really not doing anything. At 12, I was already washing dishes, cutting grass, taking out trash, recycling, everything I just mentioned. She was not doing any of it. And so she used to go into my piggy bank and steal all my change out of my piggy bank. Well, my grandparents got us these bunny rabbit piggy banks. I had the bigger one. My sister had the little one. So, like I said, she'd take my change out of mine, put it in hers, and I caught her doing it. She lied to me to my face, but I was like, okay, whatever. I was like, bet, got you. So her and my parents, I guess they were out front. I took her Barbie and her Barbie dream pool and lit that son of a gun on fire on the family barbecue.
Wow.
I was like, I figured I paid for it with all the money she stole from me, and it was mine. So I burnt that bad boy on the family barbecue.
And how did that go over?
So what happened was somebody from Pixar was watching in the background and says, that's I got to make that in a movie someday. And that is how Sid came to be in Toy Story. Genie's all better now.
It didn't go over too well. I got tore up pretty good. She got a nipple and a Barbie.
And you still didn't have your money.
Nope. Nope.
Now I know what your sister's name is. It's exactly the same as my sister's name, and they sound a lot alike.
Mm-hmm. My sister was an I mean, don't get me wrong. I love my sister with all my heart. I really do. I mean, there's still some sibling rivalry. Like we both work out, we're both gym rats. So she's like, look at this. How does this look? And I'm like, your calves are looking pretty weak. And she's like, I hate you so much. I'm like, it still exists even as adults. You know, she's like, what do you think of my shoulders? I'm like, they don't have any definition yet. She's like, I hate you so much. She's like, look at that cut right there. I'm like, I need a microscope to see that cut. And so it cracks me up. Like I push her button, she pushes my buttons. It's awesome having siblings.
I do the same thing to my sister. I give her a hell of a time all the time. Like she tried to quit smoking. I guess it was about 8 years ago. She tried to quit smoking. She goes, I've tried this patch thing. I've tried this medication. I've tried hypnosis. I said, have you tried the big brother method of quitting smoking? She goes, what's that? I go, I'll just punch you in the arm every time you light up a cigarette. She goes, I should try that. I took that as I could do it.
I would too. It's like slug bug, only with cigarettes.
Right.
I'm going to guess it didn't go over well.
We almost crashed a car. She was driving. I punched her.
Oh, my God.
Okay. I'm not even going to touch that.
Well,
I'm going to knock the driver out.
Okay. I just punched her in the arm, so her arm went numb.
The car's got passenger. You know, it's got airbags.
Oh, my goodness.
And let me clear the air here real quick, too. I'm not condoning hitting a woman, but we would smack the hell out of each other as children and
it's
adults.
Your sister.
Yeah.
It's your sister.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that you're not beating on her.
No.
Hitting and there's hitting. You know,
I'll tell you this.
Hitting, and people need to learn it from
her. I haven't had her smoke a cigarette in her own car when I've been a passenger for 8 years. So, win.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Hell, I quit smoking in October, so that was awesome.
Nice.
And it required no punching.
Very good.
I just stopped buying them. It's like, I'm done.
I would imagine it gets pretty expensive after a while.
It's $10 a pack, and if you're smoking four packs a week, then that's $40 times 4 weeks, $160 a month. I mean, that's
you're looking at
it's almost $2,000 a year.
Like, that's my DVD allowance a year.
That money has now become my rifle purchasing fund. So,
well, there you go. Now, I have a question for both of you, because I know I was part of my brother's wedding. I was his best man, but you guys both have, Craig, you have a brother and a sister. Bobby, you got a sister. Were you guys in the wedding parties for your siblings?
I was not. No.
No, for neither of them. For my sister's wedding, we had just gotten married, and she got married 5 months afterwards. It was kind of a surprise wedding. I was kind of shocked they got married, but it was a shotgun wedding, if you know what I mean.
Okay.
And my brother, he got married in Key West. So I flew down there for the wedding, and he got married by justice of the peace. It was just him and his wife, and then two people that my parents knew from the campground as witnesses. They got married on 3/16. I can remember that. That's about all I can remember. It was hot, and I had a margarita in my hand. And the margarita probably lasted longer than the marriage did, unfortunately.
That sucks. Now, the reason I ask is because when I was best man at my brother's wedding, I had a chance to basically just unload and roast him in front of everybody. So it was a lot of – I was paying all these compliments to my sister-in-law and just insulting the living daylights out of my brother, but in good-natured fun. And that was where all the sibling rivalry would come into. I mean, after the toast was given and everybody went about their business at the reception, eating, dancing, and carrying on, I had several members of my family come up and go, I didn't know you had that in you. I'm like, yeah, I'm quiet. But when I speak, I want to make sure that it makes some sense, at least not necessarily here, but there. I wanted to make sure that it made sense.
You are silent but deadly.
Yeah.
Just like exactly. A flirt.
Yes. Yes.
We all have multiple kids. Have you noticed with your kids that same sibling rivalry? Or in my case, I have four and you guys each have three, but have you noticed any teaming up between factions and stuff?
The short answer is yes.
Yeah, the short answer is yes on that one. It's a little more complicated than just a yes or a no.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, sometimes it's the two little ones against the oldest one. Sometimes it's the two girls against the boy. Sometimes it's the girls against the boy. It just all depends on which way the wind is blowing that day, I guess, is really the best way to put it. I mean, they all fight.
Right.
It's mostly my oldest and my youngest going at it because she's 14, he's 8, 6 year difference. He, you know, looks up to his big sister. Oh, he's the annoying little brother because she's 14. So, yeah.
And he's a boy, and boys are a little more high strung than girls. Just a little.
Oh, yeah.
Just a little.
In my family, the boy's the oldest, and he's going to be 14 in August. His sisters have, as of this past month, turned 11 and 6. They have essentially been two peas in a pod, with, of course, you know, the occasional knockdown, drag out argument that is nonviolent but very loud since quarantine began. And for the most part, they get along well unless the youngest is up. The middle one's, you know, she's just in her business all day long. It's like, you're not playing with me. You never play with me. It's like, I play with you all day. I want to be left alone and just talk to my friends on FaceTime. But when all three of them are together, I am going to share this story because I get a chance to embarrass my son without walking outside the house in pajama bottoms. We were at one of the local pizza places here in Medina at some point last year. I'd had it with all three of them. They had all driven me nuts to that point in the day. I'm like, let's have lunch. I'm not cooking. We'll go get pizza. We can go to a, you know, go here, eat here. It'll be fine. So I order the food. I sit down. And Craig, you know my son. Bobby, I think you might have met him one time. But essentially, my son is a 75-year-old trapped in a soon-to-be 14-year-old's body.
He's Carl from Up.
He is. I mean, he is somebody who will do yard work in a pair of shorts with a belt and a collared shirt tucked in, wearing tube socks and black sneakers. And he's going to be 14. Not 60, 14.
Does he wear black socks with those shorts?
No, they're white, but they go to the middle of his calf. We were at the pizza place, and my one daughter, Tegan, is trying to say something about what she's doing, and Alex says, well, did you know this? I'm like, Alex, no one wants to hear about the bacteria that might be where she's going. They don't care. And then she brought something else up, and he tried to respond to that. I said, Alex, once again, you are poo-pooing her excitement. Stop. Then the youngest one started asking me a question, and he's trying to shush her, saying she's being too loud. I said, we're at a pizza place. She's five, and she's talking to me. She's not screaming or carrying on or throwing a fit. Let it go. Well, she's being too loud. I'm like, no, you're not the dad. And any parent here would be like, she's fine. So just sit there quietly. So it's quiet for a few minutes. And he says, well, what can we talk about? I go, I don't know. Just pick something else that's not, that you're not going to insult. So Tegan brings up the fact that soon, like that coming weekend, she's planning on going to the Darien Lake Water Park with her friend. And Alex responds like, did you know the amount of bacteria that's in the water at those water parks is so bad? And before I could say anything, Tegan looks at him and says, like, you'd go anyway. They don't make bathing suits with collars on them. His whole face dropped. His whole mood dropped. His shoulders dropped. Everything. He's like, why are you not yelling at her? I'm like, I looked at him. I go, because it was funny. And he goes, no, it wasn't. And he's like, he's legitimately upset. I said, you know what? I've had it. I walk over to the counter. I go, that pizza I ordered, make it to go. And I took them all home. So my wife got home, and Alex is explaining to her what happened. And he's missing out so many details. And she says, wait, what happened? And I told her exactly what I just told you. And her response was to do what I did, laugh. He says, I'll go to grandma's. We're like, okay, goodbye. He just had enough. That's the one thing about siblings that I don't think we've actually touched on. We know how to get, well, actually, Bobby, you touched on it with your sister and the weightlifting thing. We know how to get under each other's skin in such a way that if people don't know your siblings, they might look at you like, what's going on?
Yeah, I've had that problem with my sister because I've made inside jokes that we pick on each, well, how we pick on each other on her Facebook page. And I've had her friends like brutally attack me. And she's like, no, 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 no. It's totally allowed. I mean, that's my brother. That's what we do. It goes both ways.
Oh, absolutely. It's like as soon as my brother got promoted to major in the Air Force, I said, you do realize that if I ever address you by your rank, I'm not using your last name. And he
Spaceballs.
He goes, oh, absolutely. It was a complete and total Spaceballs reference. And he's like, I'll allow it. It's like, because he knows. So he didn't mind.
Now,
so,
the one thing I've noticed with four of them, you'd think with even numbers that it would work out even more, a little more balanced. No. And one thing they tell you, too, is, oh, you have girls, at least they don't fight. I call BS on that because I can tell you I've come home and seen the twins rolling on the floor knocking the snot out of each other. So that's totally false. Now,
I can believe that.
Right. The dynamics are typically the evens and the odds. So Idalina and Corliss get along better. That duo's, they get along better with that mixture. And then two and four, Patience and Joe, get along pretty well. The twins get along in an entirely different way. Like, there's something that we just can't understand because we're not twins. They want to hate each other because they don't want to share everything, but they share everything. So they want to be different from each other. So they fight, but don't ever be a person who crosses the other because the other one's coming.
I can get that. And actually, the way you described your four kids about how the evens and the odds, knowing your kids, I'm not going to say I know them well, but knowing your kids, period, I can actually see that. I can understand that. That actually makes a lot of sense.
There's been a strain on the evens lately because Patience is 16 and she has a boyfriend and Josephine's only 10 and they still want to play together, but sometimes Patience wants to just talk to Captain Cuddlepants and that causes some issues sometimes.
I am always going to laugh at his name.
I like saying it. It just rolls off the tongue.
Yeah.
Captain Cuddlepants.
Yep, exactly. Now, occasionally, and this is rare, three and four on the surface get along the least. But occasionally, when they do get along, it's a blessedly wonderful thing. It is the most beautiful thing I think I've seen between my kids when those two get along well together. And the funny thing is, Corliss is she's number three. We call her the middle child because she's the middle pregnancy. And the whole middle child thing is definitely a real affliction. Mm-hmm. When there are other little kids around, she is magnificent with them. She has no like tolerance for her own sisters, but you bring in another child and she's like the perfect babysitter. She's awesome at it. I don't know where that comes from.
I can believe that, though. That's like whenever we get reports that are, I'm sure you guys have dealt with, not dealt with, but have had this happen to you, and then wondered what the heck is going on at home. When you get a report from a teacher or an instructor or another adult saying, oh, your kid was amazing here, and they helped with this, and they did that, and you're hearing all these amazing things, and then your kid comes home, and they're the Tasmanian devil possessed by, you know, Dracula. It's like, what the heck is going on? So at least they're good somewhere.
That happens. You know, we get the number three comes home from Bobby's house, and, oh, I helped them do this and that, and really, like, you don't help here, though. Like, we have to beg you to comb your hair because you say it's too much work.
Oh, my God.
Well, that's like my son comes home from my in-laws, and he's like, why do I have to do this? Why do I have to do that? You know, you have been home so very little since school closed, and I've been doing, and I'll give him a list of things I've done. And I'll look right at him and I go, if you were home, maybe you could have helped out with some of that. And what you're complaining about would have already been done. In the meantime, shut your trap. I don't want to hear it.
I used to.
If you're complaining about something that you could have done because I didn't get to it because you weren't home, it's a circular logic thing. So just stop.
I was the same way when I was a kid, man. I would spend a lot of my summers at my grandmother's house or at one of my cousin's house, or my cousins would be up at our house. It just wasn't, you didn't stay at home. Like, so like when you say Alex goes to your in-law's house, that's like, that was my entire childhood until I was about 14 or 15. I think right around 15, something else came into my life, which was far more important than hanging around at my cousin's and grandma's house.
I do not mind the amount of time that my son spends with my in-laws. My in-laws are great people. I mind that he uses that time not necessarily the best way in terms of, as evidenced by the whole school issue I described earlier, but that he also seems to view what they do and how their house is run and compares and contrasts it to what my wife and I do here and how our house is run, and seems to think that everything they do should be done here. And this is a conversation he and I have had multiple times. I've explained, Grandma and Grandpa have no kids at home. Mommy and Daddy have three. Grandma and Grandpa. Grandpa works. Grandma does this, that, and the other thing. And they both do this, this, and this at home. Mommy works really long hours, and I'm driving here, going here, doing this, doing this. It's like comparing apples and hand grenades. It doesn't make any sense. Not at all. We're not even in the same produce section. We are on opposite ends of the store. So stop trying to compare us. But no matter what I say, he doesn't get it. I long for the day when he calls me up sometime in the distant future and says, Dad, you know, I got kid A doing this, kid B doing this, and I'm flustered. I'm like, oh, really? So why don't you send them over to your, you know, me and Mom, we'll help out. Oh, no, I can't. I'm longing for the day when he is flustered about something I'm flustered about, so that he actually understands what he's complaining about now really has no bearing on anything. Like that branch in the backyard that's an eyesore, you know?
Yeah.
I did have one thing. We were talking about, and I stayed at my grandma's house or my cousin's house. I was a terrible housekeeper when it came to my bedroom. It was just a pit. It was mess all the time. So whenever I stayed at my grandmother's house or my cousin's house, my mom decided that that's when she was going to clean my room because I wouldn't be in the way. And every single time you think that I would learn, every single time I got caught with something I wasn't supposed to have in my bedroom. Every single time. I tried different hiding places, and it didn't matter. She would find it every time. I had a drop ceiling in my bedroom, so I'd hide stuff above the drop ceiling. Nope, didn't matter. She always found it.
Nice. Very, very nice. So I got a question for you guys, because I see the time, and I know that we're coming to the end, so I got a question here. So I ordered a mug for myself online in anticipation of hopefully in the next year and a half getting hired somewhere full-time. Hopefully as a teacher, right? And
not as a gigolo?
One of those guys. No. My name is not Deuce. So I ordered this mug, right? So I'm showing you this mug.
Hey, that's more than meets the eye.
That's the Decepticon side. That's Megatron. And here is the Autobot side. There's Optimus Prime, right? Just a typical coffee mug. And I figure I'm going to take this to work with me when the time comes. And I'm just going to let the students know in the first, you know, week or so of the year, like, as long as they see this side, I'm in a good mood and they can get in my good graces. But if they see this side, then just hope that they can sweet talk their way back to this side. I'm going to have fun with it. I was at the store last night. I told my daughter, I told Tegan, I go, I'm going to buy some, you know, crazy fun socks. I know, I'm talking a lot.
No, I got to go. It's 8 o'clock. No, it's fun.
So, and she's just like, I wish my teachers were fun. I just wanted to show you guys the mug. I was excited.
Well, good luck with your schooling, too.
I need that mug.
I'll send you a link. There's a whole bunch of fun stuff. So,
all right. Well, for Bobby and Howie, I'm Craig. Thank you for listening to the Dads Must Be Crazy. The Dads Must Be Crazy would like to thank Scott Leffler for putting together our awesome intro to the show. And thank you to Amanda Hodge, who helps us with our designs and logos. Intro and outro music provided by Incomtech.com. Our theme music is Retro Future Clean by Kevin McLeod, licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0 license.